Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Tracy McClure. Coming up over the next half hour, we look back over Pope Benedict's apostolic journey to Madrid, Spain, for World Youth Day celebrations. And here, the next one will be in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, in 2013. We'll have a report from Madrid and talk to the Pope's spokesman, plus hear from bishops and pilgrims who participated in the events in the Spanish capital. Benedict has returned to the papal summer residence of Castel Gandolfo after leaving Madrid Sunday, where he presided over World Youth Day celebrations. Some 2 million young men and women had gathered in the Spanish capital for the events. As he boarded the plane for Rome, the Pope reiterated his call to the young people of the world to be firm in the faith and to live their lives as courageous witnesses to the gospel of Christ. Our correspondent Ema McCarthy has been following the Pope's 4-day pilgrimage in Madrid. She sends this report.
It was only a 4-day visit, but it made a world of difference. First and foremost, to those millions who had answered Pope Benedict XVI's call not to be ashamed of the Lord, to be the apostles of the 21st century. As they boarded buses, trains, and planes for the long journey home, tired, dirty, and sunburnt, they were still smiling, still chanting that call that had echoed through the storm across Madrid on Saturday night. We are the youth of the Pope. Young people readily respond when one proposes to them in sincerity and truth an encounter with Jesus Christ, Pope Benedict said, as he too prepared the return journey home, boarding the Iberia plane at Barajas Airport. Now those young people are returning home as missionaries of the gospel. And, he added, speaking to the 800 bishops and thousands of priests and women religious who had accompanied the young people on this pilgrimage, they will need to be helped on their way. His last words of encouragement to that nation of youth: there is no reason to lose heart in the face of the various obstacles we encounter in some countries. The yearning for God which the Creator has placed in the hearts of young people is more powerful than all of these.
Con esta cercanía y testimonio ayudad a vuestros amigos y compañeros a descubrir que amar a Cristo es vivir en plenitud.
It was only a 4-day visit, but it also made a world of difference to Spain, a country and a people weary of the uncertainties born of the current economic and cultural crisis. This was visible not only in the press, which passed from front-page reporting on the protests that had erupted on the eve of the papal trip, to the Pope's call for ethics in political and social spheres to help overcome the crisis, but also among the people of Madrid. The Pope's parting words were also of praise. Spain, he said, is a great nation whose soundly open, pluralistic, and respectful society is capable of moving forward without surrendering its profoundly religious and Catholic soul. His parting words were also of thanks, in particular to the army of 30,000 young volunteers. To love means to serve, he told them, and service increases love. For me, this is one of the finest fruits of your contribution to World Youth Day.
Gracias a los miles de voluntarios que han hecho posible el buen desarrollo de todas las actividades de este encuentro.
The 26th edition of the largest gathering of youth on the planet, for those of us who watched it unfold before our eyes, leaves indelible images in its wake. Cibeles Square, first transformed into an open-air party, the sheer noise of the young people's voices as they welcomed the Pope. And again, Cibeles Square, when that street party paused for the way of the cross, and the only sound that moved the still evening air was the haunting notes of an ancient Spanish prayer. The majestic El Escorial and the smile upon the Holy Father's face, the Professor Pope speaking of the ideal of the university to the next generation of teachers. The Jardines del Buen Retiro and the image of hundreds of priests, young and old, representing a Babylon of languages, standing beneath the shade of trees long after public security had closed down access to the confessionals in the Festival of Forgiveness, to make sure that every last pilgrim who so desired could reconcile themselves to the Lord as the sun set on Madrid. The image of the Pope in a midsummer storm, serenaded by the B16 generation during Saturday's prayer vigil, and that same congregation of nations in silent prayer before the Blessed Sacrament. For me, perhaps one image that sums it all up, in essence, reveals why they came in their millions to Madrid to hear Pope Benedict's message. That of a World Youth Day poster with graffiti sprayed over it that read, "We are atheists," and under this, a reply, "You don't know what you're missing. We'll pray for you." This is the Benedict the 16th generation. They came, they heard, and they understood. The apostles of the 21st century. From Madrid, I'm Emma McCarthy.
And they are the B16 generation, and proud of it. These pilgrims came from the U.S., Egypt, and Ireland to be at World Youth Day with their Pope.
I feel very happy. I came all across from the States just to come here to see. This is my first World Youth Day, and I feel very excited.
It's a joy for all of us. We came from so far away to be here today. Just wonderful to be here today.
The Pope, he just makes a strong point that the youth have a big role in Christianity and in, like, especially in Catholicism. Like, you just look around here and there's 1 million people under 35, and it just shows like such strong faith and like. It's just a good message to bring home and bring back and influence everyone in your life with. So it's just spread the love, I suppose, spread the faith.
Well, the papal spokesman, Father Federico Lombardi, says the sight of so many young people in silent adoration of the Eucharist, just minutes after the violent storm which interrupted the Pope's homily on Saturday evening, marked one of the high points of World Youth Day in Madrid. Emer McCarthy caught up with Father Lombardi just before the papal plane took off from the Spanish capital Sunday at the conclusion of Pope Benedict's four-day visit.
I think that the Pope is very happy with this trip, with this World Youth Day, not only because so many people came, but in particular because there was a sense of enthusiasm and also of prayer. And I think that the moment of the adoration yesterday evening in the Vigil was for me the most impressive moment in these days, because after the storm, in a few minutes, to be capable to be in a profound prayer attitude before the sacrament is something that is not obvious. I think that demonstrates that all these people, 1 million, 2 million young people, understood very well why they were here, to pray and to be before Christ and to receive from Christ the grace to be strong in the faith for building a Christian life and witness in the future. In this sense, I think this was for me the moment in which it was clear that the aim and the sense of these days are reached.
Another touching moment was his meeting with the disabled young people in the San Jose Institute, and particularly the address the young man gave the Pope. What was your impressions of that visit?
Yes, this is a very important moment. This is an essential presence in every trip of the Pope. If you note, practically in every trip of the Pope, there is this moment, this etap, of a meeting with people that are suffering, that have problems, handicaps or other. And it is essential for the people to understand that the dimension of suffering with Christ and participating in the suffering of the other with a Christian attitude is something absolute essential in the Christian life and in the life of the Church. And then every time in which the Pope is visiting a land, is doing a trip, he has this moment to encounter people that are suffering, to say the love of Christ, of the Church, of himself for them, that is an essential dimension of the witness of the Church, of the life of the Church.
Can you confirm that when the Holy Father was asked on Saturday night during the vigil what he wanted to do, that he said, if the young people stay, then I will stay?
It is, maybe he has not said exactly with these words, but this was sure his decision. He was asked two or three times if he would leave because the situation was difficult and because the microphones were not functioning. That is very important in such a meeting. And the Pope said, no, I will remain. And yes, this is because all these people are there and I am with them, and he opted to continue, and he was right. We did not know if really not only the rain will go, but also the microphone will function. And it was the case. The Pope was right, and I think we have had the most important moment of these days, this still adoration before the sacrament with the Pope.
And a warm thanks there to Jesuit Father Federico Lombardi of the Vatican Press Office and Director of Vatican Radio.
En el nombre de nuestro Señor Jesucristo, luz y paz.
Bishop Edward Burns of Juneau, Alaska, has one of the smallest dioceses in the United States. So going to World Youth Day celebrations in Madrid was a big deal for the young people he accompanied there. He tells Emer McCarthy how they were able to meet other Catholics from Alaska and thousands more from other U.S. states in Madrid, together with young people from dozens of other nations, all united in the faith.
The Diocese of Juneau is the smallest diocese in the country of the United States. And so we have young people from very remote islands. And for them to gather with all the young people of my diocese, they only see maybe five other Catholic young people. And so whenever they gathered with 31 from the diocese, that made it such a special event. And then they gathered with 140 from the state of Alaska, and that was phenomenal. Then they gathered with over 30,000 from the United States, and we had Mass together, and that was spectacular. But for them to gather with about 1.5 million Catholic young people to celebrate Mass with the Holy Father, it was just astonishing. So it was just a glorious, glorious experience, especially for the young people of my diocese in Juneau, Alaska.
If you're looking back on this week, I mean, it has really been a hectic week with a bruising schedule for many of the young people taking part. And yet not once did there seem to be, anger, bad humor. The tiredness didn't seem to overcome their enthusiasm. Take us through exactly how the young people of your diocese lived this experience. Let's talk about the way of the cross. It was a very moving liturgy, was it not?
It was indeed. In fact, what is so spectacular is for us to demonstrate a very rich tradition in our church, and that is the way of the cross, a true meditation whereby we walk with Jesus. And for the Catholic Church, along with 1.5 million of its young people, and then to to demonstrate that before not only the community in Madrid, but also the people of Spain, and then also the people of the world. It was a spectacular opportunity to share with the world the wonderful devotion that we have in the way of the cross.
Of course, that was almost the culmination of the week of work to that point. Did you take part in any of the catechesis sessions that were actually offered to the English-speaking pilgrims here?
I did. I was one of eight U.S. bishops who were catechetical bishops, catechesis bishops, and it was just an honor and a privilege for me to share in that responsibility. We spoke about firm, you know, in the faith. We spoke about being established in Jesus Christ, and also about being witnesses to Christ in the world. Those three themes was what we followed on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And the young people were so attentive. They were just so engaged in the topics. You could see that they all hungered and thirst for the message and had a great desire to share it with others. But it was just contagious being with these young people and the great gift of faith they possess. For me, as a bishop and as a successor to the apostles, it was humbling. It also gave me the resolve to do all the more for them in order to satisfy that hunger and thirst that they have for Jesus Christ, and for them to stay strong in their faith, and for them to be witnesses who are alive in Jesus Christ. And so it gave me the desire to do all the more for them.
This is something that it's a subject that is recurring. Every time I talk to a bishop, they seem to always say, yes, we're here for the young people, but in reality, the young people have given much more to us than we can give to them a lot of the time. So it's World Youth Day isn't just about the young people who take part, is it?
It's amazing that there are over 800 bishops from around the world who have gathered for World Youth Day. And it's also amazing, and I was speaking with Cardinal Sean O'Malley today on the bus, that what a blessing it was for the church when Blessed John Paul II began World Youth Days. And in my presentations, I closed the question and answer session with a Hail Mary, a prayer to St. Michael the Archangel, and then the litany of the World Youth Day patron saints. And when I got to the last name, as I went through all the saints, and the young people were saying, pray for us, pray for us, pray for us. And when I would get to Blessed John Paul II, to hear the kids scream out, pray for us, as if he was still there, you know, and which you know that our Blessed John Paul II is here with us in these wonderful days. So World Youth Day has been such a blessing for the church and for the world.
And in fact, we had the delight, or particularly Spanish young people, but I think everybody really had the good news, of course, Saturday morning when in Almudena Cathedral, Pope Benedict announced that he would soon proclaim another patron saint of this particular World Youth Day, St. John of Avila, a doctor of the church.
Yes, yes. Absolutely wonderful.
But I have to ask you the question, the vigil. Were you actually there? And if you were, how would you describe it?
I was not there. I was watching it on television, and I just saw the excitement, both with the weather and also in the faces of all the young people.
I know, it really was what Pope Benedict the 16th himself said, an unforgettable vigil, really. It will go down in the history of World Youth Days. Now let's look at the message that Pope Benedict XVI had to give to the young people.
Well, I have to say that in his calling forth of the young people to follow Jesus Christ, in particular in establishing a personal relationship with him, it was just so vital in how he first went about inviting the young people to World Youth Day. He has followed this theme all along. When reading the introduction that he wrote to the catechetical booklet for the young people, he challenged them yet once again to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. All throughout the themes of the catechetical sessions, you know, ran that whole thread. And our Holy Father, I think, has done just that with today's gospel, you know, to have Jesus, you know, look to Peter and say, Peter, you are rock, and on this rock I will build my church. And for the young people to simply look up and see the successor of St. Peter right there in their midst, you know that he, our Holy Father, Pope Benedict XVI, has done a phenomenal job in just bringing all these young people to Jesus Christ. It's so beautiful.
At a very personal level, my last question, Bishop and Burns, you're going back now to, as you described it, the smallest diocese in your country. Is there any one particular personal memory of something that happened that you saw, that you heard, a conversation you had in this past week or more in Spain that you will be bringing back to you and will really stick out there as your memory of this 26th World Youth Day?
I have to say that it was a conversation that I had with a taxi cab driver. The taxi cab driver, in just in his broken English, simply said to me, "We are so glad you are here. All of you just bring new life to our city. And it's wonderful to see our Holy Father, you know, Pope Benedict XVI here in our midst and with us." He spoke about how it is for them a true jump start in their faith and for their city and for their country. It, for me, just gave me a true appreciation of what a joy it is to have World Youth Day visit various places throughout the world. And now for me to share in the joy of the people of Madrid and Spain for having this experience, I have to say that touched me greatly.
2013, Rio de Janeiro, do you think you will be there along with your young people or perhaps another group of young people?
Before, I have to tell you this, my leader has already discussed putting down a deposit for 2013 in Rio de Janeiro, and we are committed to be in attendance.
It could even top the Philippines, considering it's taking place in one of the in the world's largest Catholic country.
Wouldn't that be phenomenal? For me to, and I wrote an article for our secular paper, Juneau is the state capital, and I'm privileged to be a regular columnist for the secular paper. And I just wrote an article in which I state that World Youth Day remains the largest gathering of young people in the world. And it's amazing that it is a man by the name of Pope Benedict XVI who calls them all together. And for it to even surpass a gathering like Manila would be phenomenal.
Bishop Edward Burns of Juneau, Alaska. Well, among the hundreds of thousands of pilgrims in Madrid for World Youth Day, besides the Alaskans, are many from Ireland. The Irish Church has recently been shaken by the sexual abuse crisis, and the Irish pilgrims say they have received much encouragement from other nationalities. Bishop Donald McCune, Auxiliary Bishop of Down and Connor in Ireland, told Emer McCarthy that saying that you were from the Irish Church was actually a wonderful badge of honor, as far as most other countries were concerned.
There are lots of young people in Ireland who are hungering for some real nourishment on a spiritual level to help them cope with the headwinds that are blowing in their faces in all sorts of ways, on a human level as well as on a faith level. So I find it a wonderful burst of energy since we arrived.
At a pastoral level, you've always been extremely involved with young people, both within your own local diocesan reality, but also on a national reality in the Church in Ireland. Speak to us a little bit about this group. How many young people are over from Ireland? Because, again, as you said, they are facing a lot of headwinds in Ireland. There's a huge economic crisis, but there's also a crisis within the Church in Ireland.
It's a very wide range of origins. First of all, there are diocesan groups. There'll be largish groups like Dublin, Armagh, ourselves, Kildare and Loughlin, plus smaller groups from around the country. From, I would say, the vast majority of the diocese of some people here. Then there are the movements. There'll be a good number from Youth 2000. There'll be part of the deaf community here. There are people from with the Jesuits, with the Dominicans, with the Loreto Sisters, from a whole range of backgrounds in Ireland, all keen to participate in their own little communities, in their own groups that are journeying together but also in the much wider context of the hundreds of thousands, the millions of young people who are gathering here. For example, we got off the train on Tuesday morning and we said, Irlanda, and we were jumped upon by a crowd of Italians, Irlanda, photographs. Next group were Palestinians, they wanted to see us. Next group were from East Timor, they wanted to see us. And there's a wonderful sense of reassurance for young people that, say you're from Ireland, from the Irish Church, was actually a wonderful badge of honour as far as most other countries were concerned. They were encouraging, but I think we were very encouraged by their experience of Irish missionaries, of contacts with the Irish Church down through the years. And in many ways, so many of these countries, which had been mission lands as far as we were concerned, almost want to say, we owe so much to the past generations of Irish who came in our midst. And that's been a wonderful reassurance for our young people who perhaps in Ireland feel the headwinds are so strong, we are part of a dying breed. But one of our young people said a lovely thing, we're not part of the problem, we're part of the solution. They sensed a great sense of confidence in these prophetic little groups who are determined to work together, to walk together, to learn together. And I know there are lots of young people who actually want to come here to be able to avail of the sacrament of reconciliation, to join in the catechesis, and generally to say, I'm proud to be a searcher for faith. I'm proud to be on a faith journey. I'm proud to be with people who talk the same language as I do, who won't laugh at me for speaking of my struggles and my tears and all the other wonderful experiences that I have. So I find it a really energizing experience, and perhaps you can hear that in my voice already, even though we're all very tired.
Absolutely. Well, just for our listeners, it's quite interesting speaking to a bishop who comes with his sun hat. It's like a Western, an Australian cowboy hat, his t-shirt with all his badges, very much taking part in at every level in this World Youth Day experience as a young man in spirit among the young people. It's very interesting what you say is the fact that the young Irish Catholics needed this experience. They needed the experience of realising they're part of a universal church. Because within Ireland and Irish society right now, you almost are a minority if you are a person of faith. Will World Youth Day, this experience, this group of young people, how can that contribute to the Catholics who are still at home in Ireland?
I think all of these experiences, whether it be working as a young person at Lourdes, as some of the people here have been earlier in the summer, or working with service projects abroad, or being at Youth 2000 rallies, or any other rallies in Ireland, or this one, is I think that reassurance to people in Ireland. There are a remarkable number, a couple of thousand young Irish people here who are hungering to do something wonderful for the future of their country, not just on an ecclesiastical basis, but very much for the welfare of the country. You know that phrase that there are so many people in Ireland dying for want of a reason for living. And I can talk to young people here about that, and they say, yeah, we know so many of our friends seem lost. I go to Mass regularly, and there's not many there. It's hard for me to do that. And I think being here with them gives them a wonderful sense that, yes, there are millions of people in the world who, despite the strong headwinds and the choppy seas, are determined not to be discouraged, determined to be the architects of the future rather than just victims of somebody else's past. Another thing struck me since I've come here too is, you say you're from Ireland. They say, next year, International Eucharistic Congress Dublin. I hope to come to that. That clearly has got very much a piece of its news on its own right on the international scene. So the response, I think, from outside to the Eucharistic Congress seems much more enthusiastic than perhaps it's been in Ireland. So the young people are here, obviously, for the whole experience of the Universal Church. I think the World Youth Day wouldn't take place if the Pope were not coming. In other words, his presence is an integral part of World Youth Day. He's not just sort of a special act coming toward the end of it. He really is the culmination of the whole visit. And people do come to hear what he has to say, to get words of encouragement, get insight that analyzes our modern life and also gives ideas for the way forward, that idea that the Lord has a dream for all of us, that we're precious in God's sight. So there's a whole building up of reaffirmation of the individual in the sight of God, and that's very much the clear teaching of Benedict XVI, where relativism about who we are, who we might be, is not important. It's the clarity of the scriptures on the dignity of the human person and the vocation of that human person to be an architect of the future and a contributor to the common good, not despite faith, but precisely because they are people of faith, hope and love.
And a warm thanks there to Bishop Donal McEwen, the Auxiliary Bishop of Down and Connor in Ireland. And I'm Tracy McClure. Thanks so much for joining us today. Laudator Jesus Christus.